you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 10th, 2020. Jason, I'm thinking, do you say Happy Good Friday? It just doesn't make sense. We're in this time, this season, where we celebrate. I don't even want to say we celebrated. We recognized yesterday as Maundy Thursday, probably one of the hardest days. Not a surprise to God. In fact, it was part of his plan. But one of those days when you have to come to terms with the brutality that Jesus went through, the suffering, the abandonment. The worst of the worst happened to our Lord and Savior, our sinless Lord and Savior, God Almighty, undeserving of all that, and yet suffered for a higher purpose for you and for me. And so we're in that time period between Maundy Thursday, looking forward or anticipating Resurrection Sunday. But I was telling you off air that yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the preponderance, almost all the songs, are more of those sorrowful reminders of the cross, what happened at the cross, why Jesus went to the cross, the Via Dolorosa, that whole journey. And so it's a lot of mournful or sorrowful or, I think, healthy reminders of the price that God paid on our behalf. And so if you have a chance, listener, to tune in to 89.3, especially today and tomorrow, I hope it will be used of God to bring to mind the great price that he paid and how he demonstrated his love in very tangible and concrete ways. But it was kind of brutal as I looked at all the different songs and was very intentional on saying, these are laments, these are sorrowful songs, these are healthy reminders of a great price that was paid. So before you comment on that, let me begin with the reading that I intended to share with our listeners today, because we are in between that time where Jesus was betrayed and crucified. And now we're in those moments in the biblical narrative where we await what's going to happen next. So I'll begin reading from John chapter 19, beginning at verse 31. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happen so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken, and as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. As mentioned, Jason, these are kind of hard times when you put into perspective this biblical narrative, these actual events that took place, this sinless man, the Lord Jesus Christ, more than a man, this God-man, who healed, who brought hope, brought a message of God's love, who revealed who God the Father was in human form, never did anything wrong, never sinned, and yet he suffered this great agonizing death. And I think you had mentioned, you sent me the link, and I had heard Dr. Webb share this presentation over the years when he talks us through what Jesus actually went through, like a physician's, a medical doctor's viewpoint of the crucifixion and all that Jesus, you know, the deprivation, not having the food and not being cared for after being lashed and beat and punched, and then the grueling walk toward Golgotha and everything, the friends that had left him and Judas who had betrayed him, and carrying all that weight along with knowing that he was going to be suffering the weight of all sin from all time. I mean, it's just incredible. And Dr. Webb takes us through that, medically, how he felt and what was going on. And when he was sweating drops of blood when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before all this took place, and medically what was going on. And it's just brutal as we think about that. But I share that, Jason, and for some of our listeners that are like, oh, gosh, that's gory. Why are you talking about it? Well, it's because he demonstrated such a great love for us by suffering in this way, being punished for our sins, the things that we have done wrong, that we should have been punished for. We should be separated from God. But because of what Jesus Christ did and following the Father's will and dying for our sins and taking all that sin that we should have been punished for, taking it to himself, that as we place our trust in him, he accomplished it. And, you know, the Resurrection Sunday then validates everything, and it's an exciting time. But I just felt it's really important for us to get a handle on exactly what Jesus did on our behalf and how it's helpful and how it's needed for us to recognize the ultimate price that he paid.
Well, the scripture does say, right, in that you read in verse 37, they will look on him whom they have pierced. And that verse there speaks to these people in this moment, you know, 2,000 years ago. But it speaks to us today. We look upon the one who has been pierced. And quite often, and I think you aptly said it, we can call this a celebration. But we can only call this a celebration because we understand the outcome. And most things that we celebrate are things that have been difficult, right? Hmm. I mean, we celebrate birthdays. Well, birth, if you talk to somebody who has given birth is not always a fun endeavor. It's hard, and it's a trial. But out of that trial comes great joy. You know, I know people who, when you are in the middle of some sort of a marathon or whatever it is, the celebration is at the finish line, but there is a point in that race where it is very difficult, where it is a trial. And so many, many celebrations are filled with trials, which make the celebration that much sweeter. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we call this Good Friday, you know, people wrestle with that. You know, well, how can it be Good Friday? Because we understand what has happened. We need to go through it. One of the reasons I think that we should call it Good Friday is because it is good for us to be here on Friday. Because we are kind of hardwired to just want to be on the mountaintop. We're kind of hardwired to just go to the party. We're kind of just hardwired to be at the finish line. And that's the reason why so many people don't endeavor to do hard things, you know, because hard things are hard. Not everything you do, you don't just immediately get to stand at the finish line and get your photo taken and get the medal or the trophy. There are things that you must go through, and those things are good because they shape you and they mold you and they form you. You know, the Bible and the Apostle Paul talks about our faith as a running race, a thing that requires endurance and stamina and perseverance to do. And so the celebration comes somewhere down the road. But there are trials and there are difficulties which mold us and shape us. The Bible says to be more like Christ. Mm-hmm. And so it's good for us to go through Friday because we're not hardwired for lament. We're not hardwired for hardship. We're not hardwired to want to go through things that are difficult. And praise God that one of the gifts of Good Friday is we don't. The most difficult thing we go through on Good Friday is remembering what somebody else did on our behalf. Mm-hmm. But it's Jesus is the one who went through it. And that's where John chapter 19 actually begins. John chapter 19 begins with one sentence that is so loaded that you almost read the sentence and you think, how could you not say more? It says, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Hmm. Period. I mean, that's it. I mean, but think about it, that moment. Think about what the difficulty in that moment. Think about the trial of that moment. You know, even think of it in light of John chapter 18 and verse 38, where Paul Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. And yet he commanded this severe, brutal punishment for a man who he at least believed in some way, shape, or form was innocent. But he did it so that the mob would be satisfied. And so he scourged him. He gave this order for this brutal punishment, which was a normal, it was a normative Roman practice. You know, and it would come with this whip that had like many leather strands, and at the end were either pieces of metal or pieces of bone. Most of our listeners have seen the Passion of the Christ. They have seen the brutality. And I think that one of the things that is so difficult about that movie is that movie doesn't hold back at all regarding what the scourging looked like, mm-hmm. how difficult the scourging was. I tell people, if you can watch that and you don't feel unsettled and you don't begin to weep, and then you don't understand what you're watching. Because it is difficult to watch that, because it is the reality of what happened with Jesus. It's the reality of what, you know, one sentence, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words in the Bible. And inside of those 7 words, all that Jesus endured before going to the cross. Now, there were a couple of reasons why that they would scourge people. They did it to gain confessions of crimes and prisoners. In the case of crucifixion, they hoped that the scourging would weaken somebody so that they would die quicker on the cross. And it was also used just for corporal punishment, particularly in the provinces, because it was so brutal that if you saw that happen, you said, well, I'm never going to do whatever brought that on.
Right.
And so, but Jesus, not only taking upon the sin of the world, but he takes this brutal beating. And we need to stop and pause in that sentence in the beginning of chapter 9, because that begins the journey of Good Friday. That begins for us this thing that Jesus went through. You know, not only this, but all the antagonism, the opposition of Jesus standing before people who were saying that he was guilty of something that he didn't do. Listen, most of us don't like it when somebody talks bad about us on social media or at the water cooler. Here, people are standing around Jesus, and they're spitting in his face, and they're slapping him, and they're slandering him, and they're telling him he did something that he didn't do. And so, I mean, Jesus is enduring all kinds of trials. It's as if almost like a lifetime. When I read this, I think it's like a lifetime of trial encapsulated in one day.
Hmm.
And then we call it good. Well, it's not good. And why isn't it good? It's not good because if you're Jesus, this is not good. But it's good for us to go through it because we're not hardwired to look at these things. We're not hardwired to think about these things. We just want to be at the finish line. We just want to be at the mountaintop. And the point of Good Friday is to show us that God was willing to go into the deepest of valleys for us to get back that which belonged to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of Good Friday, is the extent in which God was willing to go. See, God is not like chasing ambulances. He's not like wondering what happened. You know, all of a sudden when they arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was being scourged by Pilate, it's not like God came back in the room and he's like, oh my gosh, Holy Spirit, what happened? I mean, God knows what is going on. When John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his son, he didn't go, oh, well, I hope he doesn't go to the cross. He already knew he was going to go to the cross. And so God didn't hesitate in sending his son, even though he knew what it was going to take to bring back those whom he loved to himself. It's good for us to go through this day because we're not hardwired to look at the suffering, to look at the lament, to feel the weight of glory. But we're also not hardwired to realize the extent in which God is going to go to bring people back to himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, I mean, how many times we read John 3:16? You know, for God so loved the world that he sent his own, you know, but not realize that in the sending of the Son, how much is there?
Right.
How much weight there is there? C.S. Lewis called it the weight of glory, that the glory that God gets for all that he's done is heavier than you can carry. That's the reason why you dismiss parts of it or forget parts of it or lay parts of it aside, because you don't have the ability to understand or to carry that kind of weight, that kind of understanding. And that's the reason why Isaiah says that the government will be upon his shoulders, talking about Jesus, because only Jesus' shoulders are fit to carry the weight of God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good for us to go through Friday. I keep repeating myself, because we're not hardwired to understand and to lament, to go into the valley, but we need to. And we're also not hardwired to realize the extent in which God was willing to go to bring back his people to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it says this, since it was the day of preparation, And this is the Passover. By the way, one of the things that people don't understand is that on the day of preparation would begin the slaughter of the lambs. And many of the Jewish writers that I've read said that when Jesus hung upon the cross, it would have been at the hour that they would have blown the horn to signify the beginning of the slaughter of the Passover lambs for the Passover feasts. And so as Jesus is hanging upon the cross, you would have heard in the distance, the blowing of the shofars to signify the sacrifices of the Passover lambs.
Mm-hmm.
And our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, was hanging upon the cross, not a sacrifice simply for one year, for one meal, to remember God's salvation through the Exodus and out of Egypt. But here, as those shofars were being blown, our lamb, the Lamb of God that John says, behold, takes away the sin of the world, was in fact taking away the sin of the world. As those shofars blew, our God was hanging upon the cross, and he was not saving us for a year. He was doing it once and for all. Hebrews says, so sure as he was at this moment, that after it was completed, he sat down. And this is a moment where we need to grasp how deep and how far and how wide was the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent he went. You know, we as Christians should be able to stand in the midst of Friday and declare confidently, because we have lamented, because we have experienced the weight of glory, because we have understood rightly what God has done, we should be able to stand in the middle of Friday and say, Sunday's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And have the confidence that we know that God is at work. And listen, I'm going to use this metaphorically, but every single person within earshot right now listening has been in a Friday. They've been in a Friday where lament. They've been in a Friday where there's loss. They've been in a Friday where there's a scourging, where there's an opposition. They've been in a Friday where there's a slander. They've been in a Friday where there's injustice happening. They've been in a Friday that looks very much like John chapter 18 and 19. And yet, Sunday's coming.
Mm-hmm.
The redemption of God is coming. The tomb is empty. It may feel like a Friday, but Sunday is coming. And that is the sure and steady anchor that Charles Spurgeon says that the Christian hangs on to. Spurgeon has this wonderful quote where he says, I have learned to kiss the waves that throw me upon the rock of ages.
Hmm.
And I love that quote because, listen, I need to learn to love Friday because it throws me into Sunday.
Hmm.
And so, friends, today as you listen, As you listen, as you lament, as you feel the weight of what God has done, maybe you're going to go to church virtually and watch your Good Friday service. Maybe you're going to watch the Passion of the Christ, whatever it is you're going to do. As you feel the weight of God's glory, may you confidently stand and say, but I know that Sunday's coming. And maybe that be the way that we live. For every Friday that we encounter as we journey along, we keep saying, okay, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we all need to personally take that Via Dolorosa walk with the Lord, mm-hmm. recognizing what he's done for us, what he intended to do for us as we receive him as Lord and Savior, as we recognize him as all-powerful God, that he knows the end from the beginning, and he offers us that gift of salvation as we follow him, as we trust in him, as we repent from our sins, as we recognize that we should have been the ones punished on the cross, that we should die for our sins. But he's provided that hope, that assurance, that gift of new life with him, the gift of his Holy Spirit to live in us, to abide in us, to prepare us for good works while we're still here on earth, and yet providing that eternal destination where we'll be free from pain and suffering and sin. And kind of like Paul, I can't wait for that opportunity, and yet if he has you and I here, Jason, for this period of time, he must have works that he wants to do through us. And we would pray, listener, that today as you wrestle through, maybe tuning into 89.3 and hearing these many songs that we agonize over, the brutal suffering that this sinless man, this God-man, took on our behalf for the ultimate goal of redeeming us so that we can have an ultimate, everlasting eternity with a loving God. I would pray that that would be maybe first and foremost on your mind. And I'm going to close out with a portion of the Via Dolorosa, hoping that we all can just better identify with the suffering Savior. But yet Sunday's coming and we get to celebrate that he rose from the dead, that he's established himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we'll get to rejoice in that everlasting truth that God is for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he demonstrated that love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Well,
amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. Was bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head, and he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Twisted in Jerusalem, los largos le abría paso a él.